Chris DeSimone.
How you doing?
Oh, my goodness. How we doing, man?
I'm doing really good. How about you?
Dude, I'm doing great. For the listeners on YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, Chris and I, childhood best friends. We were in the same Boy Scout troop together. Got confused as brothers literally all the time growing up.
Yep.
Dude, you know what I was thinking about on the way over here was I was thinking about the goggle toss game we used to play pool.
Oh, man, the goggle game.
Dude,
yeah.
That was fun. Chris was always much better at baseball than me, and I remember – we'll get into the goggle game in just a second, but I think you used to try and help me train for, like, baseball tryouts.
Yeah.
And it just never panned out, man.
Yeah. I do remember that. Wow, you're tapping into some memories I haven't thought about in years. But yeah, I do remember that. And the goggle game, you just sparked a whole volcano of memories for me right now.
The goggle game was great because basically the premise of the game was that you and I would stand about 20 feet apart in the pool and we would throw our goggles back and forth. And the goal of the game was to make catch the goggles, not just catch them,
right. But
to catch it in a spectacular sense.
Right, Odell Beckham style.
Exactly, Odell Beckham style. We would crash into people. We would like do whatever. Even if it was like an easy catch, you would like try and like zhuzh it up. You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah. The cool thing about the goggles was it was just so non-aerodynamic.
Oh, my God.
They would just like fly around in a crazy way. And the cool part about it, too, was like they had the rubber band. So you could do like a one finger catch.
Yes. Right? And I remember. And then if you did a one finger catch, I remember you would like dive backward into the water.
Into the water. But and you had to like almost like if you're like an outfielder making a diving catch, you got to show the ball. Like you would dive into the pool and then you'd stick up the hand.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I still got it.
So it would only be your hand sticking out of the water and like waving around.
Choking, you know, on dirty pool water. But like the finger was up. So it was all good. Yeah.
And then it was great because the other person then had to run over in slow motion.
Yes.
In like a celebration, like whatever. And then pick the other person up.
Lifeguards are probably thinking like, what the hell is wrong with these two kids? Yeah,
absolutely, especially since I've been a lifeguard post that. I would be like,
oh my god, I forgot you worked at the pool too.
Dude, yeah, we worked there together.
I was a supervisor. You were a lifeguard. I don't know if I was a supervisor while you were a lifeguard.
I think because I worked staff pool. There was a big thing at the school. It was
pool. Staff as well.
Staff and lifeguards. There was a rivalry.
Huge feud
between them. I started in staff.
Yes.
Then became a lifeguard.
The transition.
And then it was good because then I kind of got like, you know, the people in staff.
I
know, dude. I know.
Oh, my God.
Dude, that was such a great job. That's like one of my favorite. Like,
the pool was not a real place.
No, it was not, dude.
It was there's a movie, I think it's called like Adventureland or something.
Okay.
With, Jesse Eisenberg, maybe?
Yeah. Is that like the post-apocalyptic like amusement park zombie thing?
Oh, maybe I'm thinking that. That's a different movie. Yeah, there's a different movie, I think. I don't know. There's a movie called Adventureland or something where it's just the pool. Like, it's just it's literally just the pool. There's actually someone at the pool. I forgot her name, but she was there for a long time. I think she, like, tried keeping a memoir of all the different events and day-to-day, and I think she was going to write a book about
the pool. Dude, that is a great idea. I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
Because it was... It's hard because I want to like I don't want to talk about names. So I'm trying to be like very vague.
We could go hours on this pod about the pool.
There's actually
the stories there were not real and the people were not real.
I know, dude. And you know what's great?
The big boss man. Oh. I'm not going to mention his name.
No, but he
was not real.
By the way, when he says big boss man, he's exactly what you're envisioning.
Yeah, like, big boss man was big and
sweaty.
He was
and,
not a real human being.
No,
really
it was
awesome.
Very. The teeth, man, that was but dude, that was such a great place. It was my first job too.
It was one of my first jobs, and it should have ended a lot sooner than it did, but it was just I felt like I was like a seventh year senior there
I heard the story that there was a pool inspection one day. And the guy that worked the pool house, like, overslept or something, and there wasn't enough chlorine to pass the inspection in the pool.
Oh, yeah. That
so then they
friend.
Just they just dumped so much chlorine to, like, toxic levels.
Yep, that is accurate. They just dumped in pure, unfiltered, unadulterated chlorine to, like, the corner of the pool,
oh
which
my
is, like,
God, yeah.
It's acidic.
Yeah, it's like, bad. Real bad. And then... But the inspectors came by. They were like, all right, this
is
good.
Yeah, it was such BS. He was just, like, he stuck his finger in there, and he's like... Yeah, there we go. Yeah. The pump house had a couch. It had a PS2.
Oh my God.
It had a mini fridge.
Yeah.
You could have a six pack in there.
If you were a lifeguard, you wanted day shift, and if you were staff, you wanted pool house.
Right.
Those were like the coveted positions.
Yeah.
The pool house, I never went inside.
You never got inside.
No,
pump house?
But I know people would like sit back there and like smoke weed and like
It was basically a frat house back there. Like. People were hooking up with employees back there. People were smoking weed back there. There was the pool. It was the park behind the pool, and then next to the park and the pool was like the town dump. The dump.
Yeah.
Was there?
Yes.
So whenever
yeah.
we'd have to like drop off the loads of garbage with the little mini golf cart thing, which is also another adventure, but it's called the Taurus. We would drop it off at the dump, and the dump was a magical place of endless treasures and things that were 85% working, and like old electronics and scary like toys and dolls. So we'd find crazy stuff at the pump house, at the dump. So like we found a working barbecue. So we just would
like
have
a George Foreman grill, or
like you know, something a little more than that, like not like one, like not something you put on a table, like an actual stand up.
Get out.
Grill. We'd have barbecues back there. That's someone during their break would go. You had 20 minutes sometimes. If lucky, you had 40 minutes if you were a lifeguard on break, a double.
Yes, if you were working a double, you had 40 minutes.
So you'd go to the grocery store. Someone would be like, all right, everyone throw me $6 each. Go to the grocery store, get dogs, burgers, you know, buns, ketchup, if you were lucky. And then like some cheese, maybe a six pack. They'd come back. The next person would, you know, tag in,
start
grilling. And then the next person, I'll save you one when you come off of spray and play. And you go and have a burger.
Oh, my God.
So we found a barbecue. We found one time a huge, like, carnival-style Elsa doll. And one of the employees, you're not dropping names, but
you know,
one
course.
Of the employees tied the Elsa doll with a noose-style knot and chucked it off the slide. And, like, Elsa was just committing suicide off of the slide as kids were like, ah, like, screaming as they're like, oh, my God. We found that. We would find huge.
This is like a children's pool.
It is. It's a family event.
Yeah, it's like not. Yeah.
We would find huge potted plants that would get thrown around. We found like, you know, old watermelons that would get thrown around. We would find things just strictly drop off of the slide, like old electronic.
Oh,
it was
God.
It was not a real place. If they made the pool into a show. It would do wonders.
Dude, that's like, and you know what's great? It's like, that's not even like half the shit I'm thinking of. There were lifeguards,
no,
I remember.
Endless.
I would walk around. I would like peek in at lifeguards. They would like be asleep,
oh,
like
yeah.
on the stand.
I have friends that are lifeguards. I know for a fact they would bring the darkest of dark sunglasses, go on the stand and,
yeah.
and just like cave out for 20 minutes and someone would come up to them and be like, hey, it's my turn. And they'd be like, oh yeah, okay. Come on down.
Right. It would be.
You know, smoking weed. There would be times where we'd have staff parties after.
Oh my God!
And people would. It would be like staff parties at, you know, 9 o'clock, but the people who leave at like 8:15.
Oh my God!
Not a lot of time, so you gotta, you know, fill up the water bottle with whatever you got, type thing, while you're working.
Dude,
it was not a real place.
Do you remember too? They used to do it because like it was all college kids that were like just like crazy, whatever.
Yeah.
They used to make a deal with the staff and the lifeguards that at the last day the pool closed. They would like, everybody's home, everybody goes, and they go, all right, you get 15 minutes
yeah.
to just go ape shit on the slide.
Yep.
People were climbing up it while people were trying to go down. Just
up,
like,
oh
down, my God. Like people, you would get physically hurt. Like
yeah.
you would leave that sore.
There was
people just going ape shit on that
bananas.
Slide.
There was a year I left the pool because I got a big boy job, and then I didn't have a big boy job, so I went back to the pool because... Gotta go back to the teat. You know what I mean?
Was that tough going back?
Yeah, it definitely was. Because I was like a supervisor, which is like it was a important position there. Like you were in charge.
Yeah,
of like
you
a
were.
Staff.
Yeah, that was like the
but
real
like
job there.
Yeah, but I was like young 20s. I'm talking like 20, 21.
Yeah.
I have no idea why I got the job. There were way more qualified people.
Sure.
There were way older people, way longer tenured people, but they just gave me the job for some reason. So like midway through the summer. I was a lowly staff member. My supervisor left. I have the job all of a sudden, and I'm now in charge of all of my friends.
That's
it was
crazy.
Just it was just a
yeah.
madhouse, and some of them are older than me. And then I'm like, yeah. "Hey, go on, go get that garbage." And they're like, "Yeah, fuck you." And I'm like, "Oh, that's fair. Okay,
I will get the garbage.
I'm gonna get the garbage. I have no respect for power. Thank you very much." Yeah. So it was just BS. So yeah, when I left, that I came back, but I was for that. One summer I came back, they filled obviously the supervisor role, so I couldn't go back to my old, you know, job. So I was the night watch guy, which was a ton
night watch.
Of fun.
Yeah.
You thought the pool had no rules during the day?
Holy crap.
Wait till no one's there.
I think I stayed with you guys once for night watch.
Oh, it was
I
the
think.
Best. Night watch would basically be frat parties.
That was
like
crazy.
You'd bring, you know, friends, you'd bring cornhole, you'd go in the pool, you know, water polo, you go up, sneak a little, you know, dibs or chocolate eclair from the ice cream place.
That was, you know what's funny is, like, I remember now they had, because it was the pool on the low end of, like, the, and then on the hill, they had, like, the snack bar area where people would hang out and, like, eat and stuff. And I remember, like, the ice cream bar, another coveted position. Fun fact, Chris Barnes, who's another comedian right now, he's very, very funny.
Yes, he also started at
the pool. And he was in charge of the ice cream. Yes. Well, it's funny, too.
Well, he was,
like,
also a staff member.
Yes.
And everyone transitions fluidly to all parts of the pool. If you worked at the pool, most likely you had 2.5 jobs there. But yeah, he was a ice cream guy for a year or two. Yeah,
and it's so funny because that ice cream was like, that was the one thing they cared about. It was like, don't touch the ice cream.
Well,
and it was
the big boss man loved his ice cream.
Well, that's also true. Yeah, it was funny too because I remember I came in the transition period where, like, the boss man that we're thinking of took over for boss lady. Who, again, we're not naming.
Yes, yes.
And she ran a fucking tight ship,
she ran the tightest of ships.
And
then Big Boss Man thought it wasn't even a ship. It was a train. And he was the opposite. He would scratch his head and be like, so what are we doing today? And we're like, I don't know. We're looking at you. Yeah. You're the boss. Oh, I have so many good boss stories.
Always had Burger King in his office.
Okay, you brought up the Burger King. There was one time. Dude, one time it was pouring rain, and when it pours and thunders, the pool's basically closed, but we just wait for it to not thunder.
Right,
To squeeze in, like, an extra 20 minutes for the two idiots who are coming to do laps at 7:40 when we close at 8. So, you know, one time Big Boss Man asked, there's three different stories. I could just tell them all, but I'll tell one. So, one time, someone was coming in for their shift on a lifeguard side, and they were like, man, I was trying to park, and I was just honking the horn. This car was in the middle of the parking lot between outside the front of it, and I couldn't get past. He was just, like, in the middle of the parking lot. It was pouring rain. I honked for, like, 3 minutes. He didn't hear me, and then I drove to the side, and I look in, and this Big Boss Man, mid-burger bite,
like this.
He was eating in front of the pool with, like, in his car, like, just go in your office or something.
Yeah, like, not even in a spot. Like, just, like, in blocking the entrance.
And there was a pretty sweet snack bar there, too. That was another subsector of jobs.
Yes, snack bar.
You had staff, you had lifeguard, you had office, who were always girls.
Yes, office was always
girls.
But pool house was always men.
Office was always girls.
Office was great because you were in the AC.
Like, maybe 3-4 people. Office had, like, 4 or 5 people. Staff was a ton of people. Lifeguard, ton of people. Specific ice cream, like, maybe 2 people. And then the snack bar was D&J, and that was a total separate.
That was a different company,
But
that was a
separate entity. Then there was also maintenance, which had a couple of people.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. But wasn't maintenance through the rec department?
That was the rec
that
department.
Was okay, because
yes,
the pool
yes,
was also
yes.
under the rec department, but it was a different subsection under the rec department.
One time, Big Boss Man went up there, and it took him a while to get up there, and he's like, I'm gonna go make myself a burger. So he made himself a burger, and he comes back down, and I'm in the office because I'm a supervisor at this point. I'm asking for something, and he's like, hey, how you doing? You know, he'd talk like that. And he took a bite into his burger, and he bit it, and he's eating, and he's chewing. I'm talking, I'm like, hey, where should I put this person, or where should I do with this thing? And he's chewing his burger in front of me, and he's like, something's wrong. I'm like, you all right?
We'll cut it out.
I'm like, you all right, Big Boss Man? And he's like, yeah, and he opened his patty, his burger, and he forgot the patty on the grill. So he made his burger minus the burger. I was like, Big Boss Man, did you forget the patty up there? He's like, yeah, I'm not going up, though. I'm just going to eat it. I'm
Jesus God. He just ate the rest.
Just ate the whole sandwich.
Just like bread and ketchup and
condiments and cheese and whatnot. But yeah, that guy's a character.
Were you around when they started letting alcohol in there?
Yeah, that was big. That was fun. Only on the upper deck.
Oh, it wasn't in the
as
pool.
Yeah. As soon as you took 3 steps down to the lower deck, game over. Because then it was close to the water and then a hazard and all that.
Right, exactly. Was it wild when people started drinking up there?
You could bring your own drinks, too. It's BYOB.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I think you could.
I remember because it was like a membership problem. Like, they were trying to get more, like.
So the pool, I think, is still running. And I think it's been in the red since I've been born. I don't know how it's still running. I don't know how. The financial decisions and the decision making, horrible. Being there, like, behind the scenes and seeing the stuff.
Yeah.
oh my God, the decision making's horrible.
Yeah.
And then they would make some of the worst financial like we had like on Tuesday nights like a movie night on the
yes,
lawn, which
yeah.
was a ton of fun. Really cool for all the kids. It's $2. $2 a kid. Like you could charge like $5, $10, $15.
Sure, sure.
That's a whole cool experience. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then like memberships were like $500.
The memberships were crazy and they made like no sense.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. And like I get they wanted you to sign up for like the longer thing for
yeah.
But it was like $750 a person for the summer.
Yeah.
It was like something crazy mm-hmm. like that.
But seeing the money that was wasted there, man, like
dude,
it was rough.
I remember they built because I think this was while we were both there. They used to have just a very shallow kiddie pool.
And it was in the shape of a mushroom.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And like, you know, it was like whatever, it was cute, fun. Then they put in like this monstrosity
yes,
of like
a
kid water playground.
Yep.
And it was the spray and play.
Spray and play.
Oh my
Basically
God.
Basically a huge jungle gym. Like something you see at like a legit water park. Like
right.
Like a
right.
Splish Splash.
Yeah.
Like a huge aquatic jungle gym with water flying everywhere. It was freaking awesome. It was really cool. If I was like 7.
Yeah, you would love it if the kids really did love
I'm
it.
I'm not getting off that thing.
Right. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember it was such a big thing between staff and lifeguards about who had to stand up in like the water
yeah,
and get wet and
standing
everything
up there well, you were in the shit
yeah you were
kids
really
screaming
oh staff went up there with like ponchos and stuff like that
nonstop.
Yeah in the summer it was really nice it was really hot
it was
like,
a hot day
you didn't
it
mind
nice.
Yeah
and then you know some people like to get their laps in and just walk around the pool
yeah
that was a big thing
exactly
laps in, you know,
yeah
but spray and play was awesome
dude
yeah, it was really cool.
Spray and play was fun and this is like such a random fact mm-hmm. but I learned Robin Williams died at the pool, you told me
Did I?
While I was on shift. I remember because we had a stand in between like the two big slides that they had in the main pool.
Yeah.
And then you, because we both love comedy growing up, and we'll get into it in like just a sec, but you screamed from across the way. You go, Panna! And I go, yeah? And you were like, Robin Williams died!
Oh,
and I
man.
Go, no! And I like dropped to my knees.
Yeah, because he wasn't like sick or anything. He just
no, we did. I mean, we had no idea. Yeah, I mean,
he just
obviously,
suicide.
Yeah, I remember like
I
we were heartbroken.
Yeah, I don't remember. Wow, you remember?
You don't remember that, dude?
No.
That's how I found out.
It
yeah.
wasn't August, right? Yeah, so I think that makes sense.
I think so.
I
yeah, it was like over the summer.
I think Robin Williams dying was the most impact I've ever felt from a celebrity dying.
I think so too, and it's just
I
like what he meant
him.
To everyone. Yeah,
I really loved him. He
yep.
was awesome. Him and Jerry Stiller. When Jerry Stiller died,
that's it. Yeah,
I got really. I'm actually getting upset now. But like, I love those. I love Jerry Stiller from The King of Queens. It's my favorite show.
That show.
Arthur Spooner is the best character ever.
The thing about King of Queens that I love and still persists, I think, is that scene where he's looking for the scissors, and his wife just like goes off on him.
Exactly.
He's like, where do you think
about.
It is, Doug? And he's
yeah,
like,
he's
here.
Like, yeah, the scissors drawer, maybe, or the junk drawer. And he takes the scissors, and I remember it's like this was like the little pre-clip before they do the intro.
Yeah.
And he's got the scissors, and then he looks at Carrie. And he's like, "Where's the pen?" And she's like, "Oh, you get it." Yeah. King of Queens is classic. Yeah,
that so one's great too. Were you big? Were you King of Queens over Seinfeld?
I wasn't the hugest Seinfeld guy.
That's
King
crazy.
The big two at the time were King of Queens, for me, King of Queens and Everybody Loves Raymond.
I mean, Everybody Loves Raymond is just like...
It's iconic.
Oh.
Yeah, Robert is one of my favorite characters.
It's crazy how he would just like walk onto a scene and the audience would just erupt.
Yeah, because he was such a towering figure. He's like 6'8".
Yeah.
And he won like so many Emmys for that show. He was great.
Crazy.
He was hysterical. And Frank Barone, the dad.
Yeah, Frank Barone. Yeah, Boyle. I think was
Peter
last
Boyle.
Peter Boyle. Thank
yeah,
you.
The original, like Young Frankenstein.
Dude, so we and this actually gets into like one of the things I wanted to compliment you on when we started out. So, you and I grew up together. We were 2 blocks away growing up. I think like
two blocks. I was Wellington. You
yeah.
were Roxbury.
Can you go a little
you'd
closer
go.
To the mic, my guy?
Sure.
That's
yeah,
perfect. Much better. No, you're good.
I was Wellington. You were Roxbury. I'd go up 1 block. Go down a short block
yes.
and make a left and you were right
there. And it was cool because we were the kind of friends like you would just like during the summer. I remember we had off, I remember one day after summer, I think I went over to your house and we were playing like street hockey.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell?
Probably, yeah.
Probably, yeah. We were doing, that's okay. It just means a lot to me. It means nothing to you. That's fine.
All right. Cool.
No, but it was very, dude, when a lot of comedians will say that like they think about people in their lives that really they think are way funnier than them and like who inspired them.
Mm.
Dude, you are one of those friends for me.
Me? Really?
Chris, you made me laugh.
Really?
So fucking, I'm surprised you're surprised at this.
Well, I mean.
You made me laugh so much.
Really?
Growing up.
That's and dude, a big compliment.
I mean,
damn.
When we would watch Family Guy together.
Oh, your brothers were the big.
Oh,
you guys
my God.
Turned me on to Family. You and my cousin. But you guys were like. The bit like we used to watch like just like montages and clips.
Oh my God!
Family Guy.
Yeah, and it was like original Family Guy,
like
which
OG
was the,
good stuff.
Yeah,
like
Ding Fries Are Done.
I was just about to say Ding Fries Are Done. Oh my God! Like montage of the first Peter versus the Chicken fight.
Yeah,
Yeah, that was big.
But
I didn't know that,
dude. Oh my God!
That.
I'm shocked you didn't know that.
Well, why would I think that? With someone else, like
what did people? I mean, like, because you're very funny. Do people not like?
You.
Are you not perceived as a funny guy?
No, I am. But to be called like one of the, I forgot what you even just said because I was really blacking out here. But one of like the inspirations. That's
I mean,
people have told me I'm funny. You know, whether it's my mannerisms or my reactions to things, but to be like. Like, yeah, like I looked up to you kind
of.
That's
oh,
really,
dude, of course. I'm sorry
Jeez,
if that wasn't
you.
More apparent. Like,
no, I
dude.
Mean, we're very tight and we got a good friendship. I didn't know, you know. You thought
well, we
that.
Also,
really
too,
nice.
Like when I was like starting out, we went to our first open mic together.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
my very first. I think I had done it. I had done it already at this point. But we went to the Creek in the Cave before it closed.
It closed?
Dude, it's been closed for a while. Like, I remember that used to be a spot for a lot of comedians. Prior to like my generation,
mm-hmm.
but like we went like right before it really shut down.
This was right before COVID too, so maybe COVID knocked it out.
I think it was, I don't know if it was even right before COVID. I think it was like 2 years before.
Oh
were
really?
I think it was in college, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, but we went. It was funny because like I didn't understand how stand up worked, and we went to a heckle mic. And like it was very, there were like these two women like by the bar like heckling us. Like
you act like I was some experienced guy. This is probably like the freaking fifth time I've done it at that point.
Yeah, well, how many times have you, like, did you continue to do it after that?
So, yeah, no, I mean, I would love to and I'd want to, but no, I only a few times. I haven't really.
Have you thought about getting back into it?
Yeah, I really have.
Oh,
like, so
dude, is this the birth of it? Or are we going to, oh,
be.
Dude,
I mean,
hell yeah.
The sad part, so right before COVID happened, what I guess was March 2020, I actually saw you. I saw you
yes.
perform.
Oh, now I remember.
Right
now.
Before
it's coming 2020, back.
What was that place?
Was it?
It was in New York City.
It was a West Side Comedy Club.
Maybe
I think
it
might have been.
It was
been,
like a
yeah.
big spot. Like
yeah,
a, it was. Oh, maybe it was the basement of like a Mexican restaurant.
Yep, that's West Side.
That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
That is?
Playa Betty's. It's underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of your jokes. I don't know if you remember this. I remember one of your jokes.
Oh, which one? Oh, tell me
oh,
which one.
It's very relevant. You walked on. You were like, "Hi, I'm Matt. I have resting. Invite me to your podcast." Face.
Oh yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Here
yeah.
we
that
are.
Used to be my opener. Yeah.
Yep,
yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
That's good, dude. That used to. Someone said that at a mic. Once when they
oh,
brought
you
me
pulled
up.
The Gilbert Gottfried and stole
the
joke?
No, no. Oh, well, okay. Here's the thing. The host, who I was co-hosting, so I was doing the second half, he was doing the other half.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "This next guy has resting. Please listen to my podcast face, Matt Penna."
Nice.
Huge laugh. And I go after him. I was like, "Can I have that?" He goes, "When am I ever going to use that?" So I was like, okay, fair enough. Dude,
when
that was,
am I ever? Imagine
like,
he opens up for another mic
yeah,
show and he's
dude.
Like, "My friend Matt Penna had resting yeah. to his podcast face, and now here's George." Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like when else am I ever going to introduce you?
Yeah, he's like, sure, like
yeah.
whatever. Now I open with Eagle Scout, believe it or not.
Really?
So now I do, and that does pretty well because like.
What's the line?
So I do. I'm very careful about it because I go upstage, and it's like because I've been trying to do more about like I know how I come across type of thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm
how
trying
do
to
you
do.
Come across?
What?
How do you come across?
I come across like very like. Energetic, happy energy on stage. So, like, I'll come on.
You come across as tranquil, energetic. Like
that's interesting.
Like
right now, for sure, because it's 8 p.m. on, like, a Tuesday.
Yeah,
so,
right,
it's like,
true.
Yeah.
But, like, no, you're definitely bubbly and energetic, but
yes,
it's a very,
yeah.
like, inviting energetic.
Right.
It's
and
not
I
like
appreciate
a, hey,
that.
How you doing?
No,
like,
exactly,
like
yes.
A,
and
hey,
I've
what's up? I'm pretty excited to
I've
do
gotten
this.
That
like,
before,
yeah.
and that's, like, my favorite thing, because it's nice that I get to kind of take the audience where I want to take them.
Mm-hmm.
So I go up, and, I, you know, I'll do, like, a, hey, how is everybody doing, like, to, like, really kind of invite them in. And then I'll be like, "My name's Matt Penna. I'm an Eagle Scout." And just once when I say that, I'd love it if someone was surprised, which usually gets like a laugh. And then I have some other
nice.
Jokes, too, that I won't get into. But just like
yes.
to get that first
could,
kind of punch.
I could guess where you're going to go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we were actually in the same Boy Scout troop together as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, we were there,
both,
too. Yeah,
both
that,
Eagle,
I remember
both
that as well.
Eagle Scout.
Both
I went like
Eagles.
This for Eagle Scout. I went,
yeah,
yeah
that's
yeah,
as cool
baby.
As it gets, huh?
We had, oh, boy, we had some.
I'm an Eagle. Yeah.
We
went through it together. And it was fun. It was sad that he, you know, being a Boy Scout. I remember when I was going to be a Boy Scout, like, I mean, you could be an Eagle Scout, make Eagle rank. I remember, like, my mom and the other, like, scout leaders and everyone, they were like, this is going to mean so much when you're getting a job. They're going to care about it on your school application.
That is
you're
what
gonna
every...
You're going to be a model citizen.
Every mother.
And now, I don't even think people even know what an eagle is. Like, dude, the bird, let alone Eagle Scout. You know what I mean?
They're no, like, and that's
what?
It.
What were you, oh, did you get touched? All right, cool. All right.
No, exactly.
On. That's pretty much what Eagle
and
Scout is.
We,
now.
And for our purposes, we came close. We came
oh,
close.
Oh, yeah. My babysitter got convicted, for sure.
He was your babysitter?
Yeah. Yeah,
no.
He was. That's a name I'm not saying, but this dude was my babysitter.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Well,
and also your local librarian at the time.
Mm-hmm. So for people that don't know, there was a pedophile in our troop
okay,
that no
yeah.
one was aware of.
yeah, pretty much.
I didn't know he was your babysitter.
Yeah, a couple times my mom made a real good parenting call and was like, I'm going to call, you know, this kid I like, and he's going to come on down and he's to babysit you. I was like, okay.
Who can I think of to watch my kids?
Yeah, this guy likes kids. Let me invite him on over.
Dude,
like,
you
yeah,
know,
mom, thanks.
You know what I remember is I like... And I'm trying to work on a bit about this. He was just so...
A bit about him?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
but
nice.
Yeah. He was so nice. Like,
he was nice, but he was very... He was, like, peculiar.
Yes.
Like, he was odd. You could tell he did things his own way. You
right.
You could tell
and someone,
something might have... He was a little bit of a reserved guy.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. And it was weird that he... Because he made Eagle and then stuck around, which, like,
yeah.
was the...
That's the part where
might
like,
have... We, in hindsight, a lot of people might have...
Yeah, making Eagles normally like...
You're in and you're out. Graduate yeah.
I'm out, you know?
Exactly.
It's not like,
and then you
make an Eagle and I'm going to watch you do
yeah.
it. Yeah. It's like, no, you're going to go on out of here
you're
now.
You're going to... Come
yeah,
on
you
now.
Hit the trails.
I... And I'm going to watch you do it.
And I'm going to like it. Oh, man. I'm going to like it a lot.
I just... I remember, too, because I was like, he's so nice. And someone said, I sent it to someone. They go, yeah, what? He's a pedophile. You think he's going to be mean to kids?
Yeah, you got to get him to like you
he's
somewhere.
He's like, yeah. That was crazy. I remember that mm-hmm. news came out. I think you told me about that. I think you broke the news to me.
Was that right after Robin Williams?
I'm getting
hey, Matt, Robin Williams died. No way.
I'm getting
also, our scout leader touched me. What? Never mind. Go down the slide.
Go down the slide.
Yeah,
go.
You're good.
I get all my news exclusively from 20 yards away across
the
pool.
That's how people actually got it back in the day. Like, colonial America would be like some dude screaming from a tower like, you know, Rob Williams died. He'd be like, no way.
The town crier.
Yeah, the town crier. Hear ye, hear ye.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Local pedophiles announced, yeah.
But all in all, we had some good times at Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts was
definitely,
fun.
Yeah.
I remember one kid, though. This is the classic story I always go to when people ask, like, what was Boy Scouts like? I remember mm-hmm. we were, like, 4 days into camp at summer camp, and it's, like, a 7-day trip. So, like, it's really, you're in the woods. Mm-hmm. And I remember our scoutmaster was so exhausted, tired, and sweaty. And sweaty specifically, because it was, like, hot, middle of July. And then I think we showered all collectively once a week. I think maybe once that week. I think so.
Oh,
I just remember a hose.
Maybe that might have been a you thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I showered anybody.
Wait, did you shower at all or
no? I mean, I showered. I don't know if I was like, hey, guys, I'm 6 o'clock. Let's all go down and shower together. No, I don't think I showered everybody.
I just remember getting, like, hosed down. And that was
there were definitely, like, some hosings.
Yeah, they were like, that's your bath. And I was like, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then.
I don't know if I showered everybody. Jeez. You might have had a different experience than me.
I remember
there was one year I remember summer camp. It was like a long, it was a hot week that week.
Yeah.
And I remember we drove you that week, me and my dad.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember this. And we like barely ate that week. Like the mess hall food was extra messy
yeah.
and extra not food. It was rough. Like the bug juice was gross.
It was
and
just
we were
fruit
so
punch,
hungry.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was like blue fruit punch. We were so hungry on the way home. We stopped in the Bronx. Do you remember this? We stopped home at the Bronx. We went to my dad's favorite pizza place. This place, Louie and Ernie's. It's a spot in the Bronx. It's
like
the basement, pretty much, of like this grandma's house.
Yeah.
And we went in there, and I remember we had like, we ordered a pie, and the pies were really, they were like big, good size, like in between a personal and a normal pie, and they were really thin. And me, you, and my dad, we like housed it in like 10 minutes. You remember this?
I feel like I do. Okay. I feel like it's
we
coming
housed back. It in like 10 minutes, then we ordered another pie. And then the guy was like, all right, yeah. And we ordered like fucking six pies at that point.
I mean,
and we were still hungry because they were like paper thin slices.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the sixth pie, the guy was like, are you eating the pizza? Like, what are you doing with it? And they're like, you don't understand. We just came from summer camp. Like, we're starving. We hadn't eaten for all week.
He's like, oh, you got touched?
Yeah. It's like, oh, are you with that guy? You got touched?
I heard the town crier. Dude, that was great. You know what I remember about your dad once is he took me to the bathroom. I forget we were at some sort of event or something. No, that sounded
oh my
so
god,
bad.
I was about to have
wait, no, it's not that kind of story.
Holy shit, I was about to be like, no. Him too? Like, oh god, no.
No, no, it's not that
kind of. Oh my god,
what a crazy way for me to bring that up.
Yeah, I loved your dad. One time he took me to the bathroom.
God,
he told me what it's like to be a man.
Yeah. Oh, man. Holy crap.
Oh, my God. No, it's not like that at all.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Every viewer thinks my dad touched me and you, or just you.
No, I remember it because we went to a – no, it's not – and it's going to sound like that even more now.
Oh, good. I'm ready.
He took me – I was like 10.
I promise it gets better. I was 10.
Oh my god, I'm dying.
No, I'm
how's your dad doing? I haven't seen him in 15 years. I remember that one time he took me to the bathroom. I was 10 years old. I'm literally
and
crying.
We went to the urinal.
Is that a big serious right now?
Oh my god.
And he... And like, you know, I'm like shy. I'm
yeah, you're pissed. Oh my god, I'm sorry.
Oh please continue. Oh Jesus.
No. No.
I'm struggling to breathe. Is there water with this podcast?
No, it's like, oh, no, we used to do that, and then I kept forgetting, so we stopped.
Oh, my God.
I used to text before, and I used to tell guests, like, hey, let's have a drink on me. And then I remembered I don't make any money doing this. So.
Oh, my God. Okay, please
okay,
keep going.
Okay, so he takes me to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I'm 10. Yep. And so we're at the urinal. And, like, there's no dividers in the urinal, and I'm 10 years old. I'm very shy. He's checking off all the elements of a story.
Okay, keep going.
And then he told me to turn around and bend over. No.
Oh, God.
No. He goes, I remember I was peeing and I was like so, I was trying to hide it because like, you know, I was very shy peeing. And he goes, don't stand so close to the urinal. Like, you know, like because you try to like, you know what I mean? I was getting like pee on me. That's
like
how close I was.
This is like a life memory?
Every time I go to the urinal, I think about it. Isn't that weird?
Think about my dad. Now it's twisted around. You think about my dad no, every time you go to the urinal?
Well, I think about not standing so close.
It took him to tell you that? You think, let me take a step back. My freaking dad.
Because be like, I was like shy. I was
Matt.
Like, he goes, just take a step back. It's okay. It's like, oh, God.
Oh, I thought this had such a better ending.
Oh, no. No, it's, yeah. So now I think about your dad every time I pee publicly.
And he thinks about you. Wow. All right, cool.
Oh, my God. You know what was big, too, for us growing up? Didn't we play a lot of Monopoly?
Yeah, we did. We love Monopoly.
Monopoly was great. Scrabble, you guys loved.
Oh, Scrabble.
I remember,
full circle, going back to the pool. Me and my mom used to, like, bring Scrabble, and we'd play. We'd see you guys all the time.
Yeah.
You and your family, and we used to get some intense Scrabble
those
games.
Scrabble
me,
games,
you,
yeah.
Your brother Robbie, and my mom were just like whizzes at
yes.
Scrabble. I'm still very good at Scrabble. I love Scrabble.
Are you good at Scrabble?
My fiance
is terrible.
Really?
She's so bad.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm actually a manager of a board game cafe too.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, where's the cafe?
Cafe. I'm gonna shout it out. It's in Huntington, Long Island.
Okay.
It's on Main Street. It's called the Main Street Board Game Cafe.
Hell yeah!
We've been open for coming up on our 5th year anniversary. 2019 May, so this would be 6 years, I think, actually.
Hell yeah.
I'm the manager there. I've been there since 6 months after they opened. And it's great. And I love all different types of board games. It's awesome. It's a cool spot.
What kind of board games do they have there? They have, like, Monopoly, Scrabble,
everything you can think of. everything except like you know, a little more PG 13 adult game, so we don't have like Cards Against Humanity because there's kids.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, look, you know. But what a game!
Oh, great
let
time.
let me tell you.
So yeah, we don't have that, but we have literally any other game you can think of.
Yeah, Magic the Gathering. Remember that?
We have Magic the Gathering.
Do you have
remember
it?
Remember that? I am still. You don't know, I guess. I'm still a huge Magic the Gathering player.
So that was all we did on our Boy Scout trips. Was
yep.
That was people ask like, what was it like being a Boy Scout? I'm like, learn how to play Magic the Gathering.
More cool
it.
Stuff. Yeah, oh, the coolest stuff.
We're really selling it here
yep,
today.
Yep.
Do you remember the fingerprinting merit badge? Do you remember we did a day workshop to get that merit badge?
I remember we did the art merit badge in like three
yes.
hours.
Yeah, the art was there.
The music one, like we learned how to play like the freaking flute for like a day.
Yeah, they would have the thing is they would have these because to make Eagle Scout you have like required number of merit badges.
Yeah,
you can get like elective ones and they have required ones.
Yes.
So we would do these elective ones and you would get them done in like a day. Whereas like typically it would take a few weeks to get like a merit badge.
Some of them took a long time. Some of them were
some
like
of them didn't.
Remember the
budget you had to make for personal management? I remember
yes.
that was like the Everest of required merit badges.
Yeah, that was a tough one. That was definitely a tough one. There were a few that were required that were like, oh, I gotta do that.
Yeah.
Like a scholarship merit badge.
Scholarship. But I remember scholarship
was
okay. Yeah, that was an elective. That one was okay. Couldn't even tell you. I remember specifically because you would have to do interviews to like move up the ranks. So I had a first class interview. First class was one of the ranks. So do you think we could name all of the ranks?
No shot.
I think we could do. No, it's you started Weeblow.
Weeblow.
Second class. Let me see. I'm going to check quick.
Okay.
So it's
Weeblow.
Second class. First class. Star, Life, Eagle.
Oh, wow.
I think those were the...
I think there was one more between Weeblo.
I think you're right. Boy Scout,
Star, Life, and Eagle. Wow, these are terms I've
order.
Heard forever.
Dude, I know. It's Scout. No, Weeblo, I think, was...
Weeblo's boy,
Cub Scouts.
Yeah,
it's
Cub
Scout, Scouts. Tenderfoot.
Oh,
second
how
class,
can we
first
forget? Tenderfoot.
Tenderfoot. Your feet were so tender.
I know. Tenderfoot. Holy crap.
Oh, my God. Wait, I never told you the story about the Scoutmaster. The memory at summer camp. That I have, which is the Scoutmaster 4 days in, week-long camp.
Yes.
He was, like, so tired of all of our shit. And then one kid just takes out Axe body spray with a lighter, just mixing
oh, yeah.
flamethrower.
Yep.
We're all cackling, laughing
yep.
at this arsonist.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it is so dangerous. Like, it is a big fire.
Yeah.
And then we all just turn to look at our Scoutmaster, and he just has this scowl on his face, and he's so tired of everything, he just doesn't even say anything and walks away. It was just like, that was the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And then he watched me pee at the urinal.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I didn't know where you're going with this one, too. I wasn't ready.
And I think about him every time I pee.
That was crazy. It was fresh after talking about the pedophile babysitter. That was great.
Yes, Magic the Gathering was huge.
I'm still a huge Magic the Gathering player.
Are you really?
I love Magic the Gathering.
We used to play a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh, I think, right? Yu-Gi-Oh was big.
Yu-Gi-Oh was one of the other big ones down there, yeah. Also with the pool. I don't know if you were a part of
trading,
this black market, but under the freaking...
The underground, yes.
Under the playground area, it was pretty elevated. Like, kids would go down there and, like, whip out their binders and start, like... Black market selling and trading like
yeah, you would
cards.
Go, you would like go and your mom and like, hey mom, can I have $10? And like they would give it to you because you think you were going for food.
Mm-mm.
You were going for like silver dragon,
yep,
like
blue eyes white
blue
dragon,
eyes
under
white
the,
dragon
under the swings.
Which the rate of those looking back was crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yep.
$20 for the dark magician.
It's probably was a steal considering now they're probably worth a lot. Like,
you think so?
If you were buying like you
but
know,
if they're like in well condition, we were playing with these cards.
Oh
like,
yeah, these things
was,
were chlorined
yeah.
up and everything. But if you were buying base set Pokemon cards,
yeah,
like base
oh,
set Pokemon,
Pokemon
card,
yeah,
huge.
Yep.
If you have base set Pokemon cards now, they're worth thousands and thousands of dollars.
That's
so
crazy,
$10
yeah.
that freaking mom gave you for mozzarella sticks.
I know.
Might have been a bargain.
But you know what it is? No kid there had the mindset of a collector.
No.
It was a power trip.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, it wasn't about the cards. It was about the power.
It was a flaunt. That was a little kid's way of being like, check out my, like, you know, Bugatti and my Rolex.
Yeah.
Was, you know, check out my Pikachu. Like,
man. And
sweet.
Then right outside the pool, they had mini golf that you could
that
do.
That was in the back. Mini golf's great.
Mini
yeah,
golf was a lot of fun. I love
they
that.
They changed the, I don't know if you've been there in for, oh, no, yeah. I've
been there in a while. There.
But they changed the course. It used to be like the, you know, the kiddie course, like the windmill and the clown at the end. Where
yeah,
you
yeah,
the
I
nose,
remember the clown,
you got like
yeah.
a free gamer. But then
right.
they made it like a legit course.
Yeah.
Now it's fun.
Yeah, now it's 18 holes, par 5.
Yeah, 18 holes, yeah. No clapping, no no screaming. Yeah, yeah. That's a nice spot over there. It's good. But
I'm trying to think of any other memories I have specifically there are
the
of Boy Scouts. Or Boy Scouts, I'm trying to think, because those are the big ones we had. Boy Scouts, man.
The Boy Scouts. Oh, the Boy Scouts.
Remember we met, because we met in the basement of a church that right before we had our meeting, there was an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. That we
there
would,
was an AA meeting
you would have
in a different
to walk
area.
Through.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Like in the entrance, they'd be like...
They would be like smoking, like in the front door.
Yep,
yeah,
smoking, just strange men and women.
And again, like nothing against people in that program, but it is like if you're a child
yeah.
in like a bolo tie and a Boy Scout
yeah,
uniform.
A sesh.
Yeah, they would like catcall us walking in.
Yeah.
They'd be like, "Hey, oh, where yeah. you going? Where can I..."
Yeah. And I don't think I even realized till later on, like, oh, these are like AA people.
I know. It was, yeah. And it was
I just thought it was like a different fun group. It was not a fun
no,
group.
No, I know. And
I
was
want
like,
to be part
yeah,
of that group.
I didn't think about those adults. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. They, yeah. I just remember such strong cigarette smoke and everyone being so much taller than
mm-hmm.
me.
Yeah.
Just trying to get there, like, excuse me. Mm-hmm, I have to go mm-hmm. to my, oh no, my handbook.
Yeah.
But I, okay. Oh, also going back to the, because you used to have to do interviews for the, Tenderfoot, Scout, Tenderfoot, Second Class, First Class, Star, Life, and Eagle. You had to do interviews at every junction. And I remember I was interviewing for First Class for our Scoutmaster, and I forgot what hitchhiking meant. And he was like, all right. And I remember it was like an extreme. You either always hitchhike or you never hitchhike, like while on a trip. And Scoutmaster looks at me and is like, all right, do you ever hitchhike? And I go, always. And he looks
all
at me,
time.
He's like, and I go, never? And he goes, all right, I'm going to count that one.
All right, good. Yeah, I don't, oh man, I don't really remember. Everything kind of blurs at Scouts. I don't really remember the interview processes.
Do you still, do you remember any knot tying skills? Because that's the big question I get a lot. Do you ever
I
use it in the old bedroom? No, I could never. Sorry.
Excuse me, let me go over the, excuse me, before we start, I'm going to go around the tree, down the bunny hole, and are you ready to continue now? No, I haven't whipped out my, no, I haven't whipped that
you
one
You haven't
out.
Let out a bowline hitch?
Excuse me, miss. Can I introduce you to my bowline hitch in the bedroom? I've never utilized any of the, I wish, like, sometimes if I'm going out and I need to, like, tie something up to the car or something, I wish I, like, remembered, like, the square knot or something, you know?
Square knot I think I could still do. Nope, you know what? I can't. Square knot, by the way. Most pointless knot
yeah,
out
yeah.
there. When did you ever...
It was made to come apart.
Yeah, it literally. That's the knot. Because, like, the whole thing is, yeah, you would, like, be able to, like, pull it apart and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish I knew visually how to explain it. It's like... crap. Bail me out
picture
here.
Picture two loops of a knot, but they're, like, connected like a chain.
Yeah,
kind
two
of.
Lopes of a knot
two connected
lopes
by of a
chain.
Knot connected
yeah.
by a chain.
Yeah.
And
exactly, yeah.
And
there you go.
They loosen up, but when you pull them tight,
right.
they're tight. It's tight.
Yeah. It.
Hooray.
Like... If a magician was like trying to, it looks like it's a simple trick. Think of a magician simple trick. That
right,
is
right,
that
right.
square knot
That's
for
the
Boy
square
Scouts.
Knot, right, yes.
One you could go home to mom and be like, look what I learned today. And she's like, I can't believe I paid $2,000 for summer camp.
Yep.
And then it's, but yeah, man. Chris, I want to get to your low point. The people have waited long enough.
Oh, yeah, okay.
My God, we could go all day.
I would love to, yeah.
Chris, we talked a little bit before. Your low point that you wanted to share with us today is fibromyalgia.
Yeah, big
you
sexy topic.
You still have it. Maybe don't have it.
Oh, no, don't have it anymore.
I know nothing
no.
about fibromyalgia. So
not many
tell
do.
Tell
I
us
still,
about it.
I still don't even really know about it because it was kind of like a, I don't know if this is even possible, but it was kind of like an unknown thing when I had it.
Mm-hmm.
People really didn't know what it was. But basically, yeah, I had it, in sixth grade. So I was sixth grade was 2006 for me. It was kind of cool. My age is the year is the grade for me. I don't know if that's like that for you too.
Oh, no, it's not.
But 2005,
I'm
fifth
younger.
Grade, 2000. Yes. Yeah. He's a sexy young strapping man.
What am I? A year younger?
You're younger.
I think so. Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, so 2006 I had fibromyalgia and
how'd you like, what?
The symptoms,
you know?
Yes,
yeah.
The symptoms. So the symptoms of fibromyalgia are it's very joint related. So my
okay.
joints would tighten up and my joints would get really stiff. And there were sometimes like I wouldn't even be able to get out of like bed. Like it was rough. It was
really?
Bad.
Wow.
Yeah, really bad.
In sixth grade?
Sixth grade predominantly. And sixth grade is important that it was sixth grade because for our town, elementary school ended in fifth grade, and then sixth grade started middle school. So it's a totally stress-induced disorder. So
really?
It's all
wow.
me getting worked up in my head about transitioning into sixth grade and, like, middle school and the pressure and the stress and all of what that entailed. And it was all in my head, and it was stress-induced, and it tightened up my joints, like, really
wow.
bad.
Wow.
and it was weird. I was getting myself worked up to go to school, and I knew I was, and I was like, well, I guess a really severe panic attack is what it is. But, yeah, I had it for like the first half of sixth grade, and I missed a lot of school. That first half of year.
So take us back to, so you're in fifth grade. Mm. And you're dreading middle school starting.
Yeah.
Do you remember why you were thinking like?
No, I don't really know. I think I was just working myself up into like a really bad hurricane of thoughts and worries that it was all inside my head. It was all stress induced, and at the time nobody really knew what it was. So I we went to a bunch of doctors. They didn't really realize, a lot of them didn't know what it was. Some of them thought it was, I don't even remember, I was young at the time, but some of them thought it was some other kind of disorders. Some of them thought it was something more serious. I went to like some therapy. Some of them thought like it might have been stuff back home. So they were like, then they started like investigating my home life with my parents.
Really? Wow.
My parents were great and still are great, except, you know, my dad liked to watch you pee. I didn't talk about that in therapy. Maybe I should. You know, maybe my dad watching you pee was the sole source of my fibromyalgia. So they were looking into like,
did we solve it?
Yeah, the cure to fibromyalgia is don't let your friend's dad watch you pee.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, so they started looking into like my family life back home. They thought like maybe my parents were too tough on me, or maybe I was like too much of like I was attributing or accrediting too much of whatever my condition was to that, because I didn't really know. Two, I didn't have the maturity and the wherewithal to think like, oh, it's because it's just, you know, middle school drama and like worries and stuff. I didn't think about any of that. And then, you know, after like sixth, seventh grade, it kind of like fizzled out a little bit. And I still had a little bit in seventh grade, I think. And then around eighth grade, I finally like sacked up and, you know, shed it a little bit.
So like, I guess biologically, it's, you said it kind of tears apart your, not tears apart your joints, but it like affects your joints.
Yeah, it kind of stiffens up your joints. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. And it was completely stress induced.
Yeah, it was stress induced. It was anxiety induced.
Yeah.
It was definitely a mental hurdle. Like something that you devise in your head and you would work yourself up to, and it was just kind of like, I guess, a severe panic attack. And like throughout the day I'd have it, and then I guess towards the end of the day it'd like simmer down and sizzle down, and I'd start to feel my joints lubricated up a little bit more and start like having mobility and things like that. and since then, like, I've actually seen commercials for like, you know, for people with fibromyalgia, and there's like actual medicines with it. And
sure,
I don't think that those really existed when I had it. Like, I think this is, I could be totally wrong, by the way. I don't really know if this is the case, but I think people have done research medically on it and put a lot of money and time and effort into it. I think they found like kind of like a medicine for it, which is good. But I think at the time I didn't really have that. I don't remember taking it. I don't remember it existing.
Right.
So I think it's kind of been like a newer kind of disorder or condition. I think honestly, with a lot of like, I guess it's sad, the sad truth, but I think a lot of the times we're not even that old, and early 2000s, late 1990s, like a lot of mental conditions and disorders, I think the generation before us, like our parents' generation, I think a lot of the times it was just, oh, get over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you ever seen The Great Depression by Gary Goldman? Mm-mm. You should go home and watch that. That's okay. Like a really great comedy special. Mm-hmm. That's actually the reason that, because I take medication, I'm on Cymbalta, and that's actually the reason like I got started on it was from that special. But yeah, it was like, you know, just not even a thought. It was kind of just like white knuckle it. But what's interesting is like, I just haven't heard of a case where it manifests in like these physical symptoms.
Yeah.
Right. Especially so young for an 11-year-old. And like, I can imagine you're struggling with this at 11, not going to school. It's only compounding the stress.
Yeah, that did not help.
Yeah.
The fact that I couldn't go to school because I was worried about school, but then I was also worried about what I was missing and missing out on, you know, whatever friend stuff that was happening and social life and, you know, things like that. Yeah, that didn't help either. Like, I was a pretty good student in school. Like, I wanted to, I was studious. I cared about my grades and stuff. So, like, the fact that I was missing out on, like, schoolwork, and it's, you know, the first 5 months of sixth grade is kind of huge. Like, you got to worry about the bell schedule. You got to worry about different classes.
And in our town, they combined the two elementary schools.
Yeah, it was like, so it was like you're meeting a whole other world of kids that are the other side, forever the other side of town, which when we were that age is like, you know, Mars.
And then you got to worry about being fibromyalgia kid.
I know, fibromyalgia. I know.
Oh, God. Were you labeled that or no? I'm like making it worse. I'm like, were you the freak? Were you the loser?
No. I don't. Like I said, I didn't even think anyone, including medical professionals, knew really what it was to where they could even label me the fibromyalgia kid.
Have you?
I would have liked that. Because, in a sick, twisted way, I would have liked that because I would have known. Like,
right. Your doctors are like, the school nurse is like, oh, the fibromyalgia kid's back.
Oh, man. I've had a crazy medical history, though.
Really?
Weird things. Yeah. Not quite as bad as the fibromyalgia, but I've had a few kind of funny medical situations.
I like, you can't see if you're listening on Spotify, but I like how you're like leaning back saying that I've had a few run-ins.
Yeah, no, I have. I've had some interesting medical things that have happened.
Any you'd like to share?
Sure. I got two I'd like to share. They're pretty good. They're pretty funny.
Pretty juicy.
Pretty juicy. So one medical oh God.
Sorry.
Okay.
You're like, I like to watch kids use the urinal.
No, I can't. I can't.
I don't know if that's genetic.
Oh my God, that story's still killing. Okay, so I don't know how to introduce this without it being just funny off the bat.
I love it.
So I've had maybe 6 or 7 instances of mimicked testicular torsion.
What is that?
Okay, so what I've been explained by multiple doctors is when you when you're in the womb, you are developing male and female reproductive organs.
Sure.
Then there comes a point where the womb decides you're going to be a boy or a girl.
Right.
Right. So the other reproductive organs that are developing at the same time kind of shrivel into nothing.
Okay.
And are, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
So when you're a boy, I don't know about when you're a girl because I'm a boy, but when you're a boy, the leftover reproductive organs shrivel into a piece of, like, just loose, very small skin, and it kind of just sits there down in your junk, and it's just there.
So okay. Occasionally, on the sack or in the sack?
In.
It's in the sack.
It's not hanging out like a rooster. Okay. It's in there. I don't know where, but it's in there.
All right, so it's
kind
of like
there for everybody.
For the boys, for the fellas back home. If you're feeling around,
yeah,
you can't feel it though. Like it's just
not really. No.
Okay. Gotcha.
No, you can't really feel it. It's just a really small microscopic, a very small piece of just skin loose skin
that was supposed to be
that was at
clitoris.
One point your vagina.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right. So we've all got one. Remember that.
We've all got one. So this could have happened to you. This could have happened to you back home. Could have happened to anybody. So when that twists a little bit, it could be a very pinpointed mimic of testicular torsion. Now, testicular torsion is no joke. Like, if your ball twists, like, it could suffocate and die within hours, so you got to get that shit checked out.
Wait a minute. Your balls can suffocate? Your balls breathe?
Your ball could...
They got little lungs
there? Yeah, they're breathing. if a ball twists, it could cut the circulation to the ball, and then it could kind of just, like... Yeah, suffocate itself out because there's no blood going to it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah.
So,
I'm actually like, wait, they breathe?
No, yeah.
I got to open my legs.
They
now.
Got gills? So if you feel that feeling in it's scary. So it happened to me once, and
were you doing something or just
no,
happened?
No, each time I don't really do anything. It kind of just fucking happens. It's the worst. So it's very rare that it happens. It's extremely rare for it to happen like twice. It's happening like 7 times. Okay. Of course. So the first time we went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, good thing you came. Like, it's just not something to joke about. I was like, you know, going through puberty.
Right, right.
Good thing you came.
So, how old were you?
Like maybe 13.
You're like 22.
No, it can happen anytime.
No, going through puberty, I mean.
Yeah, going through puberty. Yeah, my balls just dropped. Yeah. So they were like, no, this is what it is. It's okay. We see it. We've seen it before. Like, you're good. It's just kind of something that's going to have to run its course, and you're fine. Then it happened again.
Wait, how long in between did it happen?
On average, I'd say 6 months.
That's awful.
One time, this particular time, it happened on a Super Bowl night, like after my friends.
Which Super Bowl?
Oh, I don't remember. It was an old, it might have been Cardinals Steelers. That might have been.
Oh, that's a good one. Damn. Good one,
yeah. So good, my balls twisted. So the reason I'm bringing this all up is because, all right, one particular time in the middle, I went to the hospital, went to the whatever, and the doctor's checking me out.
This is during the Super Bowl one?
Might have been the Super Bowl
one. Okay, sorry.
Doctor's checking me out, probably 15-ish, 16-ish at this time.
Okay.
Making sure I'm good. And doctor's like, wow, this is a really, like, rare thing. I'm like, yeah, I know it's happened to me a couple of times. Doctor goes, oh, we have a few medical students here that are on watching. That are studying. Is this so rare? Is it okay if they come in here and get a load of this? He didn't say get a load of this.
I was going to say, that's how he phrased it.
But he was like, obviously it's a touchy subject, no pun intended, but is it okay if these medical students come in and examine you? So I'm like, yeah. Okay. My pants are down. My nuts are out.
He asked you while your pants were down?
Yeah. He's like, okay, stay right here. I'm like,
don't move.
I'm like, okay, I'm not moving. So he brings in these young collegiate medical students, and it's like five smoke show women.
Yeah, I was just
and I'm
say,
like 16, 15, and these girls are like 21.
Yeah, in the movie version of this, they're all hot. Yeah,
and then the real life version, they were hot too. Okay, they're like these hot girls coming in, and I'm just there, and I'm like, hi. And they're like, oh, you're so brave. And all the, like, and
all the stuff you want to hear.
Doctor's got like his little points. Like, all right, so see, this is Keith feeling this.
Stop.
Here. It's like a group of people.
No, just
and they're
staring
like, with
at
notes.
No.
And they're like studying my fucking nuts. And yeah, so I that
oh,
particular time, the med students were looking at me and checking me out.
Oh, God. Did you get hard during it?
I was thinking about every possible thing that could make me be as flaccid as human possible.
Yeah, I can imagine. Just cause
it was very uncomfortable.
How long did it go on for?
Like, it felt like an hour, but it was definitely like 5-10 minutes. Yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal.
That's awful.
But just I had that happen. Yeah.
And you
that
know,
was
like
fresh after the fibro.
You know what would bother me is I know there's one guy in that group that's just asking a question to appear smart. So he's like,
probably, yeah.
Excuse me, this side of the ball. Yeah. Is it here and there? You're like, God damn it,
yep,
he's making
yep.
me do it longer.
Mm-hmm. So that happened to me. And the other interesting medical thing I had was I had a second asshole once.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
So I had a polynoidal cyst. Do you know what that is?
Is that the thing that goes in your tailbone?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a dimple in people's tailbones.
Not that I would know. No, I'm just kidding.
There was a dimple in people's tailbones, and it got infected, and it became a cyst, and they had to remove the cyst. So I had a second asshole.
Really? Was it... Oh.
It was just a wound. Nothing came out.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was like, is it connected to
No, it's not. The hip bone's connected to the tailbone. No, it wasn't.
Testicle suffocation.
And you have one ball. No. So I had the surgery done. It was fine. It was good. The next day, you're supposed to repackage the wound, right?
Yeah.
So your mom's in there. She probably
heard
about this, known about this. She'd love this. So
she's probably going to listen.
Yeah. All right, great. Hi, Denise. you're going to want to hear this part. This is good. This is good for the patients back home. I need to repackage the wound. So it's far back. It's deep in there. So I had my parent help me. They were helping me. They removed the packaging. All of a sudden, I start squirting like a motherfucker.
Oh,
crazy.
Boy. Just
like
the
a lot
and
of
stuff?
Not even a ton of blood. I'm losing blood. I'm losing like a lot.
Oh,
of blood.
Man.
Like I got shot.
Like not just in the wound?
The wound is bleeding and squirting. Flying everywhere. It's rough. I'm like, meanwhile, I'm like a freaking car in the auto mechanic shop. Like, how you doing back there? You good? Everything good, Mom? It's like, no. I don't think it's supposed to happen. Okay? So I'm bleeding a lot. So my mom's like, this is the day after the surgery. So my mom's like, we got to go to the doctor immediately.
Yeah.
And we got to figure this out. This is not supposed to happen.
I'm getting chills. Oh, my God.
Oh, just you wait. Oh. So I'm like, okay. So I can't sit, right? So I have to go in the car, but I have to go face down in the back seat like a prized fishing bass. I get thrown in, and I'm just in the car. I'm like wiggling around in the back seat. Like, my mom's got me on ice. She just caught me in the Taconic.
God.
Okay? So I waddle.
Where do you get a load of this one?
Yeah, I'm just on my stomach in the back seat.
Oh, no.
We got to the the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. I shimmy my way out of the car, and I penguin walk over to the. Ugh. I'm bleeding crazy.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
So what happened was, during the surgery, they burst a capillary, which was not supposed to
happen. Whoa.
So when you burst a capillary, blood's going to fly.
Right.
So blood flew everywhere. Now, they needed to close that capillary.
Sure.
Right?
As one does.
So I just came off of being under the day before. And I'm sure you know this because your mom is a nurse, but you can't be under 2 days in a row.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that.
No, I'm a terrible nurse's son.
Denise.
Denise!
So this is fresh after Joan Rivers died. And Joan Rivers passed away because she got Novocaine.
The anesthesia.
Anesthesia, thank you. Yeah, not Novocaine. Yeah. Novocaine's the mouth. Anesthesia the day after she got anesthesia, and her windpipes actually closed.
Oh my God.
And her throat closed, and she suffocated, and she died.
Yeah.
This is fresh off that. So people are on high alert of no anesthesia back to back days.
Sure.
And they knew that even before this. So it was the next day. So I couldn't go under anesthesia. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
No. Don't.
They
no.
are trying to operate on no. me without anesthesia. So what they're doing is they're taking this numbing needle.
Yeah.
Again, I'm bleeding like a crazy man.
Right, right.
And they just start sticking me like a poke and stick tattoo around my second butthole and numbing it around. And
it is
killing me. It's painful. And they need to work quickly. And they did not allow enough time for me to be numbed back there.
Oh,
so
God.
The doctor's just like, fuck it, I'm going in. So I swear to God, I'm clenching up so hard right now because this was the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life. When women say you don't know what childbirth goes to, what childbirth is, honey, you don't know what second butthole suturing is, okay? They took a blowtorch and they blowtorched the capillary to suture it. This is straight out of a World War II bunker. Like, I'm talking... I'm biting down on a towel as hard as possible. I'm screaming the most absurd, outrageous obscenities of all time throughout the office. I'm crying. I'm sweating. I'm wailing. It's as painful as could possibly be. Right? I'm sure your butt's like this right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just took a blowtorch to my wound. No anesthesia, nothing. And they had to.
And you came on here to talk about fibromyalgia?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Sorry. I'm sorry when you asked me the question.
I like when you're
low
point. I was in bed a few times.
Yeah.
In sixth grade.
I was off of school a few days with no fever. this was a low point. Yeah, this
Holy
was for sure a low point.
Shit.
So I'm screaming. I'm going nuts. They're like, all right, we're done. It must have felt like 10 hours. And my mom's in the room with me. I must have almost broke her hand. I was squeezing so hard.
Oh, God.
And then afterwards, because I was
By the way, your poor mother, like, to watch that. That's horrible.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, like, I lost a lot of blood, a lot of sugar. So they're like, you want an apple juice? And I was like, fuck off. Like, I was so, I felt violated.
Yeah.
That was the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life. Hands down the worst pain. I don't wish that upon anyone.
I can't believe they took a blowtorch.
A blowtorch.
Was it the kid with the Axe body spray with the lighter?
It looked like it. It looked like it. No, it looked like it. Actually, funny enough.
So like the well, no, go ahead. Sorry.
The doctor's name was Frank Caliendo. And he kind of looked like the comedian Frank Caliendo, who was like one of the best impressionists.
I feel like during this blowtorch, he's like getting out the anger of people constantly calling him that. I'm not Frank Caliendo.
Yeah, I know.
Just taking
Dr. Caliendo. Yeah, great
Dr.
guy.
Caliendo.
If you need to do a polygonal
good impressionist? No,
he did an
not.
Impressionist of a World War II doctor
oh,
that day, and
God.
My God, was it great? But yeah, no, that was
that's
the worst pain.
That's crazy.
I'd ever felt,
was
for
your
sure.
And your whole area there must have been burned.
It was just tender foot. No, it was try tender polynoidal cyst. No, it was like rare meat.
Oh
my God. I was rough. I was in rough shape. Yeah. And the next like 2 months, I couldn't sit properly. I had to like
two
lie
months.
Down. Yeah, it was a healing process.
Jesus.
I was on a lot of perks. It was great.
Yeah.
It was good.
By the way, if you haven't tried Perks, this is
great stuff.
Then
great
I got addicted to those, and it was fantastic.
Yep.
That's crazy.
That was a bad one. Yeah. So I've had a few medical.
Yeah, it feels
instances.
Like just like your entire medical history is your low point. It just seems yeah. like.
Yeah. About that. Yeah. Yeah. About that. Yeah, I've had I have really weak ankles. I probably rolled my ankles, twisted my ankles like 10
yeah.
times.
Well, you're an athlete too, so like that will grow up. Yeah.
Oh, baby, I'm an athlete. Woo. Yeah.
You played baseball growing up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like, so me and half the town played baseball. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh,
but yeah,
God.
No, I once twisted my ankle walking upstairs.
Stop it.
Swear to God. So during college, same college collegiate year. I might be the only person known to mankind to have a billiards injury. I twisted my ankle playing pool. I walked around the table,
yeah.
and my ankles are so weak at this point that any step could literally just be like crunch, and I cranked my ankle right around walking around pool.
God.
Again, there were attractive women around, and
yeah, they're always sorry.
Nah,
I feel like that's
always.
The.
It's just a comedic.
Literally
comedic.
every time you have any sort of medical issue,
I get up and look around. Hot girls, oh, God damn it! Bring them in. Bring them in, the medical students. Yeah, bring them in. Bring all the hot girls from, you know, my collegiate building.
Mid blowtorch. There's three college
yeah,
women. We need a fourth for our pool party.
You're gonna not. You're not gonna believe this. We're blowtorching some kid. Come in here. Come on in. Yeah, I've cranked. I've broken my ankle. Someone in my grade who is not an athlete.
Okay.
And there was one time at the park. He was there, and we played one-on-one ball and in front of a lot of kids in my grade.
Sure.
And he's full-blown, like, NBA snatched my ankles. It was rough. It was rough.
That's.
So my ankle's super weak. And the other big thing I guess I had was I had jaw surgery. That wasn't
all right,
that eventful.
What, like wisdom teeth or like?
No. So I had like.
You're like, my wisdom teeth had wisdom teeth. That's
I wish there was that. But no, my bite was like kind of straight on.
Yeah.
And if I was to continue, it was an elective surgery, but if I was to continue to do it, I'd flay my teeth out.
Oh,
like
yeah.
So what they had to do was, this is my top jaw, they had to cut the top of my jaw and like push it forward so I had a nice overbite.
Whoa.
Like this.
Oh my God, I'm like chewing my mouth now to make sure
so
I get that.
Now
going.
I got like a nice
yeah,
overbite.
Yeah, you want like a little...
A little something, yeah.
So how do they shift? Because, like, the top of your jaw is your head, right?
Yeah, they cut, I don't know, it connects to something. They cut the top part here and here in my jaw, and I think put, like, a little metal plate in to, like, extend
oh,
it.
Oh, I see,
and
I see.
Pushed it forward a little
that
bit so
makes
I have
sense.
A nice bite.
Can you, like, feel the metal stuff in your mouth?
No, but when I got it, it, like, really messed up my navel nerve passageways.
What's your navel nerve?
I'm not a medical guy. No, but it messed up my nervous system in my nose. So,
nasal.
Nasal, yes.
I thought
sorry.
You meant, like, I was like, navel's your belly button. Like, how's
yeah,
that
no, sorry.
Now?
I said the wrong thing. So, yeah, like, when you blow your nose, like a normal human being, it comes out of your nostrils. But they kind of, like, cracked into the nervous system. So I had, like, an extra little passageway from my mouth to my nose inside.
You have so many more orifices than
yeah,
the normal
I got a
person.
Ton of orifices.
You got the vessel.
Yep.
The extra nasal passageway.
Yeah. So now this is a theory, a conspiracy theory, but now I think I have like a I don't think that wound fully healed where like I feel like sometimes I have to blow my nose, but I think it's through the second nasal passageway.
Okay.
Not navel, nasal. So I think I still have a little something left over from that.
Because when you blow your nose, you feel it?
When I blow my nose, sometimes I'm like blowing my nose and nothing's coming out, but I could feel in my face there's like, you know, mucus. But I think it's through the wound.
Oh, ew, so it gets...
I think
not ew, I'm sorry, that was...
yeah, it's all right.
I'm just like making you feel self-conscious.
It's good, it's
I'm like, oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, I know, this is my life. No, so sometimes I feel like I have to blow my nose and...
Gotcha. So, but how does the mucus get out of here if you're blowing it into here?
I gotta like do some crazy hard like not in. That's more of a snoring. I gotta do some crazy hard outward
gotta,
type
oh,
of
I
crap.
Hear
you. Yeah.
Oh my God.
My girlfriend hates it.
I was gonna
a
say
a lot of times I'm in the shower. I'm just hacking long.
Yeah, that makes
and
sense.
And it's just like
women don't typically like that.
They do not. No, they do not. That was something I hid early on in the relationship. Like,
yeah.
if I needed to really blow my nose or hack a quick lung, I would.
Do you guys live together?
We do live together. Yeah,
oh, nice.
We do live together.
Yeah.
Yes. She is not a fan of that. That part of my body. Yeah, no.
Oh, I thought you meant living together.
No. No. We greatly enjoy really enjoy that. Yeah, no, not a fan of the hacking of the lung.
Yeah, I can imagine.
As most are.
Yeah. As most, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other bodily problems.
Have you had any crazy?
I went to the ER once. I'm trying to think of a story that I haven't told on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I had an instance once in high school where I remember, like, senior year, I was like, I had perfect attendance, and I was like, I'm gonna do it this year.
Look,
I'm not gonna get
you.
Sick once senior year. Mm-hmm. Like, what the heck am I trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
So it's October, and I was having dinner, and I wasn't drinking a lot of water, and I just had a piece of like very, very dry chicken. And so I have the piece of chicken, I swallow, and I feel like this weird thing in like my throat, and I'm like, okay, let me just try. So I try having another bite of chicken, immediately throw it up.
Really? Oh,
wow. I try taking some water, I'm like, oh my God, I can't, like, and then I throw that up. And then I'm realizing, oh my God, I can't even swallow saliva without spitting it up. So I'm like, oh my God, Mom, like, I can't get it down. We try everything, she goes, try. Try drinking like a lot of water. So I go, okay. So I go, she's a nurse. So I go,
Oh my God. Yeah, the smallest of spit can't go down. But just
right.
Chug a gallon.
So let's just keep trying to push it down. So I keep trying to, like, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm like hocking up mucus and everything. Like, something's going on, like, whatever.
Jeez.
He just has to drive me to the hospital. I go to the emergency room, and I'm just like on the way to the car, like, we had to stop and pull over so that I could spit out more and more. Just nothing was going down in my esophagus. We go. Oh my God. They tried everything, man. They did x-rays while I'm like trying to spit up or whatever.
Oh my God.
Like, say, and they go, the chicken got caught. You know, in your esophagus, there's like a little flap.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it's called, but it basically, like, so you can swallow.
Right.
And then where you take air, the chicken got stuck on that flap.
Oh my God.
So, like, I couldn't get anything down.
Holy shit.
So they're like, all right, they tried everything. So they go,
did they take the blowtorch?
No, not the blowtorch. That was the last resort. I'll tell you what they
did.
That's
Frank Caliendo's go-to is the blowtorch.
He was there. He was my doctor.
He was number one.
I was like, hey, do Frank Sinatra. He's like, good. Shut up.
I'll do doctor now.
I'll do doctor. I'll do World War II doctor. They tried they're like, all right, we got to get a better look. So they stuck a tube up my nose to the back, right? And it just feels so weird and pinching.
Yeah, it feels like alien. Like,
yeah, and they, like, just to, like, go down and take a look. Mm-hmm. Then they pulled that out, and they were like, all right.
They saw it on the camera?
And I think they saw it on the camera,
did
yeah.
Did you see the camera when it was happening?
No,
when
didn't.
I've had that happen to me.
You want to look?
No, but my doctor at the time was like, you know, here's the screen. You could see it while I'm seeing it. And I was okay.
He's like, yeah, yeah, might as well.
Putting it in, it was.
There's my retainer. No. Sorry. So stupid. So
did they get it out?
The chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, you meant the retainer.
Oh, no.
So they do look in there, and they go, okay, we're going to give you a muscle relaxer to try and, like, relax the muscles around, mm-hmm. so that hopefully it'll, like, push it through. I go, okay, that makes sense. They go, this medication, it's not going to make you throw up. So, like, it'll be good, everything. They give me the medication. Immediately throw up everywhere. And I could tell on the look at some of those doctors, they were like, this is not supposed to happen. What is happening right now as I'm throwing up? But I threw up so much chicken, like, everywhere. Oh my God, it was like everywhere, like, so much.
Oh,
and they were
man.
Like, okay, here's some apple juice, try it now. And I did.
Why
does
every doctor want to give out some apple juice?
Dude,
that's what happened to me too.
These doctors are just sitting on stockpiles of apple juice.
Yeah.
Too much inventory. They're trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, they're trying to push out the apple juice.
So that was a weird. That was a weird hospital story I had.
Nice.
Another time, I got so dehydrated I missed my friend's wedding.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
really?
Dude. Yeah. So we went out. This is in Rhode Island. I also told the story on TikTok if you want to check it out. I went to Rhode Island for this wedding. And we problem is with weddings, and I apologize if I've said this before on the podcast. You can fast forward like 2 minutes. When you go to a wedding, do you go, like, typically go for, like, a welcome drink thing?
Yeah, I've been to a bunch. I've actually been to a bunch of weddings. I've had welcome
Humble
drinks.
Humble
Some I don't want to go to.
Yeah, most of them I don't want to go to.
There comes a point where, like, you get invited to weddings at the start, and you're like, woo, fun.
Right.
Then there's a middle point where you're like, weddings. And then at the end, you're like,
We had six weddings we went to last year.
Really?
Six or seven.
Oh,
yeah.
I think we had about five or six as well.
It's
I got
so
a few
much.
This year.
And it's so expensive.
I got a few next year.
Dude, it's, yeah.
People I care about a ton, a few I don't. You know, a few ancillary people, like,
sure,
you know,
sure.
on the other side's friend of a friend type thing. But, yeah, no, there's been welcome drinks and there's been, like, you know, rehearsal dinners type stuff.
Totally. And the problem with the welcome drinks for me is, like, you're so excited because you see everybody night one. I go way too hard.
Was a close friend?
Yeah.
Do you know
my
city guy?
Yeah, yeah. I'll bleep out the name. You know Rob Watzak?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it was his wedding. Okay. And he's very well aware of this story. Mm. So we wake up the next morning and I'm like, okay, like I feel kind of shitty. I want to go for like a run. I want to feel better. So we go for like a 3 mile run with me and some of the guys. And it's so humid in Rhode Island.
A
pre-wedding run.
Are you a runner?
No.
Holy crap. I would never want to run before a wedding.
Dude,
Did the husband or the
No. He wasn't staying with us or anything.
Oh,
but like some of the guys we were staying with went, and they were like,
I guess Rhode Island's pretty scenic.
Yeah,
what time of the year?
It was good. Oh my god, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful run. It was like in the summer, like we ran by Salve Regina, like right by the water.
Cool.
Like it's like a famous, you know, path or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we stopped running, and I'm like really thirsty, and like it was so humid. I didn't even realize until in hindsight, like I was sweating so much. And then we get in the car on the way home. I don't like feel good. I'm like woozy. I'm like whatever. We get back to the Airbnb. I'm like, we have to get dressed for the wedding, and I can't put my pants on. Like I'm so fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
I like physically can't lift up my leg to get it in the pants
wow.
hole. So I'm like on the bed rolling around trying to get my pants on. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go to this wedding. And then
at any point, did you try to drink fluids?
I did. Yeah, my friend got me some water, but it was just like a bottle of water. It wasn't like anything crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like start swaying back and forth, and I start hallucinating, and I see a man in a top hat and a monocle in the corner of this room. It was like
really?
An old Victorian house.
Was it my dad?
And take out your dick.
Take it out, man.
Take it out.
Put it in your pants.
Don't
now.
Stand so close to the urinal.
Oh my god.
You're gonna pee on yourself.
Oh
thanks,
god.
Monocle man. But no, I go, Taylor. It's my fiance's name. I go, Taylor, I can't put my shirt on. And she goes, what? We have to leave
she
in
was
like
there
20 minutes.
When you were...
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, she
okay.
was there with us. And she helps me get my shirt on. And I can't put my tie on. I can't get the top button to, like, close because I'm too hot. And I go, hold on a minute. And I run outside, and I puke everywhere.
Wow.
And it was really funny because my other friends were, like, dressed playing cornhole outside. They were like, Matt, you ready to go? And
holy
I was like,
crap.
they were like, okay.
Yeah.
I guess not. So then I lie down, and I'm like, they're like, you cannot go to this wedding. So they go, miss the ceremony, go to the reception. So I agree to that after, like, much, because I felt so, I'm a people pleaser. And it was like a
it's
nightmare
a wedding,
for me.
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, I'm going to miss.
Hopefully thing.
So I miss the ceremony. I fall asleep on the couch. I wake up 2 hours later, and the reception's, like, well underway, and I'm trying to get, I can't keep any food down. My girlfriend tries to give me chips with, like, salt. And
oh, she stayed back, too?
Oh, she stayed back with me, yeah. So then, oh, she's the best. And so I end up going, I call my brother, who's a doctor, you know him, Robbie, and then he goes, Matt, you have to go to the hospital. This is like whatever. So I go to the hospital, and it was funny because I'm in the waiting room, and there are like other people from other, because Rhode Island, it's like prime wedding time.
Okay, yeah.
So there's like other wedding people there,
oh, wow.
like drunk people, and like parents there, some daughter got really drunk or
wow.
something, and everyone's like dressed up. I was like, this is the best looking waiting room I've ever been in.
Nice.
We're all dressed to the nines. Mm-hmm. So I remember the Yankees were playing, so I'm watching the Yankee game, waiting to go in. They gave me an IV eventually, and like I missed the whole wedding.
Oh,
and then
man.
I show up to the breakfast the next day.
Oh.
But they were so busy, they didn't notice. And I told my friends, do not tell them where I am. And I was like, that was a great party, guys. Thanks for having us, whatever. And they were like, oh, that's great, like everything. But and then they found out like after the thing, because I didn't want it to derail from what they were
yeah.
doing. So they did at one point, Rob was like, where's Matt? We're taking the high school picture. And then my buddy Kellen was like, all right, let's all take the photo. And then like he like
oh,
got him off it.
Kellen.
Yeah, oh, Kellen's the best. I just
Kellen
saw him this weekend.
Really?
We had this guy Connor Burke's bachelor party.
I know him too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin Burke was there too.
Ah,
very funny.
Great.
Is he in your grade?
He's in my grade.
Yeah, yeah.
Big time music guy.
Yeah, big music guy. He just finished touring with Noah Kahan.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
He was
yeah.
with oh my god, Prince Caspian of Krina Chronicles of Narnia.
Yes.
I forget.
Yeah, they
his
were
name.
Touring
ben...
too. I forget his name. He was in Westworld, too. Though.
Yes, he was. Oh,
yes.
My God. I
yeah,
love Westworld.
Yeah, oh,
and
great.
He was in The Punisher. He was Jigsaw.
I didn't know
Did
he was in The
Punisher?
No.
Oh, he was.
But I love the guy in it. What's his name?
John Bernthal.
John Bernthal. He does.
Him
yeah.
as Punisher is awesome.
Yeah, he's, I mean, he's
really
a great. Did you ever see him on The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was just like, go nuts and he'd do this like
yeah.
weird head thing.
It's like, I'm
going
to fuck my best friend's wife.
Yeah. Great guy. Great guy. He's really good as an actor, too. Yeah. But he was,
yeah,
he was
really
touring
good.
With Prince Caspian.
Yeah, he was touring with him. And then now he's with
Noah Kahan. Sweet.
Forget, yeah, Noah Kahan he was with. And I forget who he's touring with. This my fiance loves her. Jensen something. I don't know. But yeah,
pull.
He's doing great. And
nice.
That's the point of the pod is we're going to talk about how great other people are
okay,
doing. And
nice.
We're. Dude, your medical history. That sucks.
Yeah, my friends and my family who know about it.
Is it like your family has medical issues too?
I mean, you know, maybe a little high cholesterol type of thing. Yeah. Nothing too crazy like this, but yeah, my girlfriend, it's a joke with like my friends, my girlfriend, like they all know I got some, you know, weird, crazy crap that's happening.
She have anything? Should you have any dirt on her or
she's got a little bit of low iron. That's about it.
She doesn't eat red meat? What a loser.
She loves red meat, actually. She likes milk, too. A lot of girls don't like milk, but she likes milk. Which is weird. She's got a little bit.
A lot of girls don't like milk.
They don't. Osteoporosis is a big thing.
How do you say that? My fiance does not like milk.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a thing.
You know what? Next, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 female guests you have on.
I'm going to ask them about milk.
Sneaking if they like. You like milk?
I'm going to take some notes.
Take some notes and then be like.
We'll have you back on the pod.
By the way, you like milk?
By the way.
You like? she's a perfect bill of health.
Hey, you like milk? That's like the most. Just sounds invasive.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
That's a little bit of a sus question. Me too.
Why you want to know?
Yeah.
That's your opener.
I'm a milkman myself.
I'm a milkman. Did you see the guy at the Braves game yesterday pick up the woman on air? That's really cool. Mm-hmm. I like that story.
He shot a shot.
Yeah, yeah. And very she was smooth. Being a little, she was being very flirty with him too, because
he
was like,
he was cool looking dude.
They want me to, yeah, they really, he was like, they want me to, the, for those that don't know, there's a reporter talking with the people in the main booth who was like on the field in the game. And this is very boring, but they asked him, they were like, get that girl's number. And he was like, they're telling me to want to get your number. And she was like, they want my number? And I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
So it was very cool.
She was giving it back and he got the number. Good for him.
He did get the number.
Yeah.
And we're here to celebrate him.
Yes,
so.
We are.
Chris, we do end the pod with if someone is going through a lot of medical issues like that. And we've had some other people in the pod share about their medical history and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What is the advice you would give to someone who's going through any of the testicular torsion, the blowtorch to the asshole?
That I can't help you with. I guess bringing it back to the fibromyalgia thing, there came a point in my life where like I cared about a lot of stuff that I didn't really need to care about. And this was past the fibromyalgia. This is probably through high school and, you know, entering first year of college. I definitely was a person who, like, cared about what a lot of people thought. Like, I was one of those people who really was, like, almost anal about, like, my perception and my image. And
don't do it. Don't do it,
stuff
man.
Like that.
With anal.
Oh, God, Jesus. Sorry. Again with that.
Sorry.
But no, there came a point where I just kind of like let some things go. You know what I mean? Like I let cares and worry, not about important stuff, about, you know, not important stuff, like, you know, fitting in or like, would I be judged if I have this interest? Like, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure when I had fibromyalgia at the time when I was like, a young preteen kid, I would have never been able to tell someone like, oh, I love Magic the Gathering or something like that.
Sure.
Because it's like a nerdy thing. And things like that. There came a point, I don't know when, actually I kind of do. It was like, sophomore year around college, I'd say, is where I really just had that epiphany of like, I'm me, I like my stuff, I like my hobbies, I have my friends, I have my interests, and I'm fully comfortable as me.
Totally.
And I think the best thing that a person could do, and it's hard to figure out at what age, and people are still finding out about themselves, learning about themselves now, but I think there came a point where I was just like, this is who I am, and I'm comfortable in it, I'm comfortable in my own skin, I'm pretty, you know, pretty confident in who I am. And I think that the best way to maybe with fibromyalgia is to just not worry about those. That's easier said than done, of course, but it's just kind of just, you know, not worry about what people think, not worry about what people are perceiving you and how the world is perceiving you. And a lot of the times you can't control it. Like you can't control what you can't. Not everyone's going to love you. You're not going to fit in with everybody. And you can just kind of control the things you can control. And with fibromyalgia, it's something that you can control. It's all in your head.
Yeah.
So that's probably what I would say, yeah.
Two things on that. One, I heard I was on TikTok today, and there's a clip going around about this TEDx speaker who basically said that people who are in their kind of last moments before they pass away, their biggest regret is they lived a life. They wish they lived a life that was more free of other people's expectations.
Okay.
So that's something to keep in mind with that as well.
Wow.
And a great thing I heard that I loved in the similar vein is I think it's Cher, believe it or not, said, ask yourself, is this going to matter in 5 years? And if it doesn't, don't pay it any mind. And I love that.
That is a great quote. Yeah. Yeah. There's some pretty close people in my life who struggle with still with like what people think. And, you know, today I even got in a little bit of a disagreement or an argument with someone, and it was over like, oh, I wonder what this person is going to think of me, and, you know, it might get me in trouble. And I was like, I was trying to tell them and just be like, just worry about yourself. Like, you just control yourself, control what you know, and don't worry about what people think. And if a narrative is developed and formed, it's not your fault.
Totally.
Things like that. And, you know, I'm no pro at it. I'm no expert. But like I said, there came a point where I just kind of had that epiphany, and it's made things put into perspective in a nice way. Like, you know, I never heard that quote by Cher, but it's true. Like, there's plenty of times where I look back and I'm like, that really didn't matter. Like, petty drama in high school, petty drama in college, things that didn't really mean much of previous jobs, let's say. And, you know, one of my friends from college, my roommates, he was like one of the first of us to have a kid. And he's now has two or three kids, and he's our age. And he's, you know, started a family earlier than we did. And when I saw him after he had his kid, he hit me with a similar quote. He was like, hey, remember when we were in college and we cared about, like, who used our laundry or, like...
Yeah.
He's like, as soon as I had my first kid and I saw them, nothing in my life
mattered. I've heard that, yeah.
And I we're not parents, we don't, unless...
No.
I don't know. I'm sure once we have our first kid, we're going to realize that and have that epiphany where we're like, wow, this is my world now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until then, you know, I don't have that epiphany yet, that second epiphany. But I've heard that.
It's
a thing where, like, you don't really know what you care about and you don't really know what's important until, like, you have your own child, and it's just like, this person's my world, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny, like, especially with, like, the, you know, the podcast and the social media stuff I put out and, like, everything like that. I thought a lot about that because, like, I'll put out a lot of videos that'll just bomb. Gotcha. And I just, yeah. And I had Jamel Sirleaf, who's another comedian, on this podcast, and he was like, he said something too, because I was like, yeah, I'm embarrassed, like, when a video bombs. And he's like, why? Like, you're just putting it into a machine who's determining, like, you're just put stuff out there. And also, too, like, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody actually cares what you think the other people's expectations are of you. That's not what it is, and you're telling yourself that story.
It's true. And the fact that nobody cares, like, you don't want to hear that because you care. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
So it's tough when someone tells you, like, you know, like today when I was having this disagreement, I was like, nobody's going to care about this. But it's tough to tell someone that, who that's what they care about. Like, you know what I mean? You don't want to invalidate their feelings. You don't want to be like, you shake it out of them kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, like, with that type of thing, who cares if a video bombs or if you don't get the viewership or something? It's just all about, like, self-worth and self, like, you know, self-fulfillment. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of musicians that are pretty big, and they've said, like, early on, I made music for the people. But then afterward, it came a point where I just made, I don't care if anyone likes it. I like it.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
And when it comes to a hobby like this, if, you know, you're, I know the struggle and the grind. I've attempted to do this a few times myself.
Yeah,
I was telling you before we started. And the fact that you're still, like, you know, putting in the work and grinding it out, it's pretty freaking commendable.
I appreciate
that,
man. Well, I have the guests on to applaud me. So that's the...
There you go.
It only took an hour and a half before we got there.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, cut it to the beginning. All right.
Christy Simone, you want the people to find you on social media or no?
Sure. I don't fully know my handles. I'm not a huge social media guy.
Anything you want to plug?
No, I'm good.
All right, I love it. Christy Simone, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, my man. I love you so much.
You're
like a brother to me.
Too.
I love you too. And here's to hoping we left you a little higher. That's the podcast, baby. We did it.
Nice. That was great.
Hell yeah.